Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, 17. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This morning we said that we are called to walk a careful walk, a precise walk. It is intentional, and it is a life of conviction, a life of principle built upon the Word. We also looked at the fact that one of the ways that we do that, we walk in wisdom and walk carefully, is by redeeming the time. That is, making the most out of each opportunity that God gives us. Making the most out of seasons in general, but more precisely, the specific opportunities that we have. So that we are thinking ahead, and we are also not wasting the time that God has given us. Now, there is a difference between wasting time and resting. Resting in and of itself is not a waste of time. Slothfulness is obviously a waste of time. So one of the conversations or one of the Q&As, typically whenever we or in Russia, they'll ask us different questions about different things. And one of the messages that Matt brought had to do with rest. And so one of the ladies wanted to know the difference between rest and slothfulness. She was just having a hard time knowing what does it mean to rest? What does it mean to be lazy? How can you rest when you have laundry that needs to be done and all those things? And those are real questions, and people struggle with that. And so one of the things that we have to keep in mind about ourselves is that God created us a physical and spiritual being. So our body can only go so far before it needs to recharge. So my answer to the laziness question, particularly to this lady, was, you know, if you need to rest, it's not a waste of time. And if you have laundry that needs to be done, you know, if it needs to wait a couple of hours or a day, you know, that's fine. If it piles up for 2 or 3 weeks, that's lazy, right? But rest is fine. Rest is not a waste of time. Many times that can be a good way to redeem the time so that you have the mental awareness and abilities that you need to be able to do the things that you're called to do. By and large, our problem is not going to be to fight in order to get rest. It's going to be able to fight in order to make the best use of the time that we have, the opportunities that we get. So one of the real simple examples of that is we meet twice a week, Sundays and Wednesday nights. You have more time on Sundays, really, to interact than you do on Wednesday nights. And so one good question might be, do you come to church, do you come together on Sundays or Wednesdays with any sort of intentionality about it, or do you just show up? I can remember one time Brother Reggie talking about trying to keep an eye out for needs, trying to keep an eye out for someone to just engage, trying to do something to be intentional. And brothers and sisters, I'll just tell you that I believe this. I believe if we are not intentional in doing the things that we need to do, they will never get done. You know, Brother Kurt is a baseball coach. He can't just say, let's have practice, and everybody show up at the same time to practice, right? We're going to have practice on Mondays. You need to work out from 5 to whatever, and you got to play ball from here to there, whatever else. It's intentional. You show up, you do this. So, again, this idea of structure, this idea of discipline, it doesn't have to be the same way for everybody, but having some sort of intentionality about what are we going to do when we get here, and what am I going to be active in doing, who might I engage, and so forth. All right, the last part of this section that we're looking at today is verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what we get from that section is at least this. If we are walking or if we are living a life that is not careful, if we aren't careful, if we aren't trying to intentionally make the most of our time, then we are living in a way that could be and that is considered biblically unwise. You know, a lot of times we think about wisdom and foolishness in sense of, the fools or the clowns that everybody laughs at because it's so obvious. But foolishness can be characterized in a lot of different ways. Here, foolishness is characterized as someone who's not intentional, someone who isn't planning ahead. So, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there's a lot of various teachings and a lot of various positions as to how it is that we're supposed to know what God's will is. How do we know what God's will is? How do we know what we're supposed to do? How do we know when a decision comes along what God would have us to do? You've all been in a situation where you had a decision to make. Maybe it was a decision that you weren't completely clear on. You didn't know exactly how God would lead or what God would have you to do, and wish that you had more clarity on that. Well, here, as he's talking about knowing what God's will is, I think the scriptures are pretty clear about the reality that God has spoken. Right? Hebrews chapter 1, we could look in other places, the reality that God has spoken in Jesus Christ. I don't think that what Paul is referring to here is in a mystical sense of new information coming your way for your exact case, that God is going to speak to you or nudge you through the way that you feel, through some special revelation, or through some emotional stirring. God has spoken and God leads through wisdom. Okay? Now that's not to say that God can't guide through providence. God obviously opens up doors and closes doors. But if you are wondering, for instance, if you're in a relationship and you're wondering, would God have me to go further in this relationship? The answer to that question is found in wisdom. It's not found in some zap that God's going to give you that gives you clarity. It's not even found in some peace that you may or may not have about the relationship. Now, it may be that you don't have a peace and there's a reason for that and you move on. But we said this morning that one of the greater needs that we have in the Christian world and one of the great needs we have in this church and every church is the ability to discern. Okay, the ability to discern. And what we're called to discern, and this is typically kind of what divides the two frames of thought here, what we're called to discern is not our own inward feelings and not our own inward nudgings. We're called to discern what God's Word has to say about our situation, what God's Word speaks into our circumstance. And so there are cases where wisdom is going to be based upon biblical principle. You're not going to have a chapter verse for everything that you do. If you're, you know, if you're involved in a relationship with somebody and you're wondering if that relationship should go forward, well, there are some pretty easy, clear-cut things that you can begin with. Right? So, am I going to be equally yoked with this person? Is this person a Christian? Well, that's pretty basic. If the answer to that is no, I don't care how peaceful you feel about it, the Lord's will is not for that to continue on and you to get married at that time. Now, maybe down the road you may become a Christian and so forth, but at that time, if you're going to discern the Lord's will, you already know a few things about it. Maybe it's a job. Should I take this job here or should I take that job there? Well, that's going to be, again, based upon biblical principle. Should I make this commitment or that commitment? You remember the idea of we're supposed to be redeeming the time, which in a very simple way means we're going to be giving what we have in order to get what we want? Well, so often what we end up doing is redeeming not the opportunities that we have in order to use those for the Lord, but we end up redeeming our own selfish ambition and the desires that go along with that. For instance, Should I take this job over here? There's not a good church that I could join myself to. I'm far away from anyone that I would be comfortable putting myself under, but it's a good job, so I'm going to take it. What you call that is redeeming the time for my career, right? You see how that works? You sacrifice, you pay, but what you're paying to do is advance your career, not necessarily make best use of the opportunities that you have for the Lord. And you could take that in several different directions. What God is calling us to here in verse 17 is to grow in wisdom and understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, we said in Psalm 119:9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Right, by taking heed according to thy word. And so for this afternoon, I just want to begin to look at this reality of growing in wisdom and discernment and where it begins. It begins with having a grasp of God's word. It begins with having a compass with an authority that is already determining where and how we're making our choices and where and how we're being precise or living in a precise way. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The word was given to us for this very reason. The next section of scripture we're going to look at is, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We're going to look at this whole reality of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And there are just as many mystical ideas around being filled with the Spirit as there are in understanding the will of the Lord. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Is there some sort of a second giving of the Spirit? How does this work? And we'll look at that next week. But some of these things are interconnected. 2 Timothy chapter 3, another really familiar passage for us, starting in verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In verse 17, the word that, we could also substitute in there, for this purpose, right? So the scriptures are given and they're useful for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And then the next question is, so what? For what? Why do we need doctrine? Why do we need reproof? Why do we need correction? Why do we need instruction in righteousness? So what that we have a book that's God-breathed? What is it? What's the purpose? That you may be mature, that you may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that you and I may have, again, we've been calling it a compass, that you and I may be brought to maturity and that we may have an authority for the precision that we're called to. Mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, we've got to know the Word. If you want to know what God's will is, you've got to know the Word. You can pray and pray and pray and pray, and there's fine. We should pray. We should probably pray more than we do pray. But if you're praying for God to give you an understanding of His will, and that prayer is not accompanied by being in the Word, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. Because He doesn't say that the man of God may be brought to maturity, thoroughly furnished unto good works through prayer. He says the Word does that. Now, obviously, we should be prayerfully approaching the Word. As we approach the Word, it shouldn't be an arrogance. We shouldn't approach it as a know-it-all. But as we approach the Word, it is the Word that is able to build us up. The Spirit uses the Word to do that. It is the Word that's able to bring us to maturity, and it is the Word that brings us and helps us build conviction, principle, and discernment. Be not unwise, Paul said. Be not unwise. There's a word there for wisdom that's different than the word that was used in verse 15, where it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. You would think that someone who was unwise would be a fool, But the word that's used in verse 17 is a word that's speaking of someone who is, it's not just that they're foolish, but they are, really the sense of the word is they are stupid. The command is, do not be stupid, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, years ago, that's the text that Brother Steve jumped on whenever I said it was a sin to be stupid. He's never forgotten that. And it came from that text, because that's the command. It doesn't say, do not be ignorant. Ignorance can be remedied. You can learn. It's just avoid. But it says, do not be stupid. Do not have the truth in front of you and do the opposite. Do not know the Lord's will, or do not have the Lord's will available to you, and then just squander that. Be not unwise is the command, but, and here's the word, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so knowledge, whenever we think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, knowledge does come through the word, but the other part of this is we've got to have more than knowledge. Wisdom's not the same as knowledge. You've known people before that were concordances whenever it came to Scripture. You could think about a verse and they could tell you right where it was, or they had lots of information about the Scriptures, but whenever it came to making a decision, they just couldn't make one, or at least they couldn't make a good one. When it came to speaking into a particular situation, they just didn't know. They knew it, but they had no idea how to use it. Well, the base foundation is that we're in the Word and that we know the Word. Where you move from there and where you move into wisdom is having understanding of how you use this. How do I use the Word? Because like we said earlier, there's not a chapter and verse for every situation you're ever going to have in life. Even the ones that do have chapters and verses, you're going to have to use wisdom to know how to apply them. So, for instance, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at parenting, and there's going to be the command for fathers not to provoke their children to wrath. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means don't exasperate them. Don't unduly just treat them in a way that produces bitterness. Now, we have the what, but we do not have the how. How do you live in such a way that you do not provoke your children to wrath? Well, you're going to need wisdom and understanding to figure that out. You're going to need the rest of the word, too. You've got to have more than just that text. This is what we're talking about, understanding. Look in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, you can know a whole lot of biblical knowledge, but if you do not fear God, that knowledge does not translate over into wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, you've probably heard a lot of different definitions about what this means. There's a reverential fear that's brought up, and that's true. And there are several other things. The one that I typically use think it fits well in definition, it's just someone who takes God seriously. Someone who takes God seriously. When I read the Word and I see what God has to say, I take it seriously. And the reason I say that is because sometimes the fear of the Lord does go beyond a respect, a reverence. Sometimes whenever God gives us a warning, that ought to cause some fear. If we're taking God seriously, it ought to. And so it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. Taking what God has to say as if it's true. The opposite of that is just treating God like a joke. You know, he's just like maybe some other folks that you know. They like to talk. And some of the information's good, but I'm not too worried about it. Well, the command is that we grow in understanding the will of the Lord, and we have to grow in the fear of the Lord and taking the Lord seriously. So how does that happen? We said it's more than just knowledge, and so how do you get beyond knowledge? Well, Psalm 1:2 talks about the man who is meditating day and night on the law of the Lord. And so let me just throw this one out there. Understanding, one of the ways to grow in your understanding is through meditating on the Word of God. Meditation, contemplation, thinking about, processing that in your mind, seeking to have, again, not just to know what it says, but what it means. What does this mean? And the only way you're really going to be able to do that is repetitively thinking through the Word. You can do that through studying the Word, but there has to be some meditation going on in there. That's why memorizing Scripture is such a popular discipline with a lot of people, because if you're memorizing Scripture, it's forcing you to meditate on it. And if you've got it memorized and you're really meditating on it, then more than likely you're getting some understanding as to what that means. You're getting some understanding on how to apply that in your life. And so it's not just knowing the Word, it's knowing what to do with the Word. And brothers and sisters, that just comes with practice. That just comes with practice. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Here in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul is really getting on to them for not being more mature than they should be. He said he should be able to feed them meat, but they can only handle milk. But then verse 13, he says this, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so he has two categories here. The first category, those who are using milk, he says in verse 13, they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Doesn't mean that they're unaware of it. Doesn't mean that they've never heard it. Doesn't mean that they, it doesn't even mean that they don't read it. It means they are unskillful with it. In other words, they do not know what to do with it. They do not know how to use it. Then he comes down in verse 14 and says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." That is just strong meat belongs to those who are mature, who have grown. Even those who by reason of use, that word use there is just practice. By reason of use, reason of practice. That means repetition. They've done it again and again and again and again. And that's something that we recognize and acknowledge in all kinds of different disciplines, don't we? From education to sports to anything else, repetition's the key. If you want to be a better reader, you don't necessarily, you might benefit from a few tips and skills here and there, but if you want to be a better reader, read more, right? If you want to be a faster runner, you're going to have to run more. You can't learn how to run faster just by reading a book. If you want to improve in any number of skills, you've got to practice the actual skill. And you do it again and again and again and again. And so what we're being called to here, and it's the same call that we have in Ephesians 4, is that we are growing in wisdom, we're growing in understanding the will of the Lord, and the way that that's happening is there is repetition. By reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Have you ever been with maybe a parent or an older person, or maybe you've been thinking about a story that you're telling on yourself from several years ago, and you get to maybe you're looking at a picture, seeing what somebody's wearing, or maybe you're recalling something that you did, and you think, "Oh, I can't believe I was ever so stupid. I can't believe I would do that. What was I thinking?" Right? He's saying here, we have our senses exercised to be able to discern both good and evil. Now, I'm not saying in those pictures we're talking about good and evil, but I am saying our ability to be able to see, our ability to be able to perceive, our ability to be able to understand is growing so that we're able to more skillfully discern what's good and what's evil, what's permissible, what's not permissible, what's good and useful and what's not good and useful, what's offensive to God and what's not offensive to God. He says that comes through exercise, that comes through practice, that comes through people who intentionally do it again and again and again and again, and there's no fast track to that. I think I've told you the story before, but whenever I was, we're talking about experience now, just the experience in trying to discern and use God's Word. Whenever I was finishing up my supervision for my biblical counseling certification, I had met with the fella for, several times. We've gone through 50 hours worth of counseling, and we were getting ready to depart, and I said, well, you know, you've been watching me now for 50 hours, you've seen this and that, and you've got a decent grasp on strengths and weaknesses, so I'm just curious, you know, as we end this supervision relationship, what are some things you think I need to work on? What are some weaknesses that you're seeing? And he said, you know what, I don't really have a whole lot, you know, it's you're a pretty quick study, whatever I've told you to do, you've done. He said, your biggest problem right now is just ignorance, but don't worry, because experience will take care of that. And I thought, I don't know how to take that. I did, but it was true. It was true. And that's our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is ignorance. But time will take care of that if we apply ourselves. But you don't just automatically go from unskillful to skillful in understanding, not just how to use the word, but understanding the will of the Lord. And so we need the word, we need the Spirit, we need practice, and we need time. And that's what we're called to here. And so, brothers and sisters, we've got one more component here, and that is it's not just redeeming the time, it's not just growing in wisdom, it's also being filled with the Spirit, and that's what we're going to look at next week. Paul says, walk carefully. Walk with precision. And that's the walk that we're called to, if we would walk in a way that would glorify Jesus Christ.